Blog Talk Radio.
As you probably have known in the past, that is the official theme song of the UMO. The United Matthew Order. And hopefully today we will be pleased to have the leader of the United Matthew Order in Matthew of Botchamania here. And now I'd like to introduce you to my cohort, or co-host, if you will, the greatest thing to come out of Columbus, Ohio, since Frankie Williams, Nikki Hayman.
And good evening to everyone who might be listening in. As you might know, I was a featured individual in Botchamania 14. I was in the crowd waving a sign and pointing and laughing at Randy Orton with the rest of us at Bad Blood 04,
mm-hmm.
a site that you will not find on the DVD. So thank Matthew for preserving history.
Yes, because anytime we get Randy Orton embarrassing himself, it's fun for everybody.
Only because Vince doesn't think it's funny.
Well, Vince's idea of funny is leprechauns and hillbillies and all that other fun stuff.
Sometimes he's right. This isn't one of them, but sometimes he's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, where is our distinguished leader and guest of honor?
The click-to-talk thing should be going on right now. I guess something is going on with Blog Talk Radio. And because this is Blog Talk Radio, who's, modus operandi is screw everything up for people who want to have good shows. It's happened to me in the past.
It's happened to me, but it doesn't happen often. And sometimes, though, a surgical strike is in order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a hint, Blog Talk Radio.
No, it's just a blunt message. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the esteemed commander of the USS Botchamania, the genial guide to the Crystal Maze himself, Matthew.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Loud and clear, sir.
Then hurrah. And I'm speaking to an old Sigma fan. And who was the other person? Skype managed to cut off everything you said. I do apologize.
This is Nikki Hayman.
Hello, Mickey Heyman.
And how are you doing,
Mickey Heyman, sorry. I'm fantastic. I'm around a friend's house. I sound like I'm in a castle. I'm LucasAid apple-flavored. And things are good, basically. And how are yourself?
I am doing quite well. And since you are in a castle, I am wondering, is Mumsy next door?
No. You never get to see Mumsy. But I do have Iceman Parsons from Dungeon of Doom going, My son!
Darn, I was hoping to get the crystal. Anyways.
If you speak to Kevin Sullivan, we should have some crystal meth. That'll have to do.
Alright.
Well played.
Thank you.
This is like being David Letterman, having like a whole bunch of people laughing at everything you say. You're so great. Anyway, I always thought Alec Trevelyan was the leader of the UMO anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, we do have somebody who laughs.
Oh, man, I watched Tony Atlas versus Ted Arcidi, I think that's the way you pronounce his name. The big guy who was Bret Hart made look good.
Dino Bravo?
Bravo?
Yeah, probably Bravo.
Oh, no, not Dino Bravo, no. Ted Arcidi, Arcidi, whatever his name is. After watching the match, Vince McMahon, I think he said, like, that's on you, Hogan. And after the Atlas versus Ted Arcidi match, and took the earth, my I had to look up and make sure, like, it wasn't 2012 and we're all dead. Wow.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I have quite a few questions to ask you. I have the most obvious question that everybody has wanted to ask you.
Go on.
What is your favorite combination of Weapon and Gunstar Heroes?
Fire plus fire. Or if I'm feeling lazy, because it feels like I'm wielding a giant fire lance. And it does the most damage. Or if you're standing right next to it and they're not moving, the numbers seem to go down quicker. Maybe it's just psychological, because you're too busy going, wow, look at the size of my flamethrower, to pay that much attention, but I can still finish the game, so I'm not complaining.
You should probably ask, I should ask Nikki Heyman the same question, because she fancies herself a Gunstar Heroes expert.
Oh, really?
Well, as somebody who's been around long enough to have worked in a game shop when it came out, and the proud owner of a Japanese copy of Gunstar
with the good
Heroes.
Cover.
With the good cover, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Oh, sorry, carry on. I thought you were finished.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I know.
I heard that. My weapon combination of choice is tracing laser, mainly because I would just keep running and it'll find the enemies for me because my aim is horrible.
Yeah, that's part of the reason for doing trace and homing, especially when, you know, obviously 7-4, it's just, I'll just fire and I'll move. I don't really need to worry about it. That's why I think it's such a well-designed game and it stands the test of time because of that amount of depth to it. Well, that makes sense because you'd be the Gunstar Heroes expert. I could myself be a Dynamite Heady expert. So I'm guessing Sigma Fan gets Alien Soldier. Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, I just do the double. I usually do the double machine gun mainly because I use Fix Shot most of the time. I don't use the free shot. I use Fix Shot. And plus, that's what really helps against 7-4, especially when you get to his when he does the bird, the Thunderbird version.
Yeah, the Thunderbird. Of course, you being British file, I think I've just made that word up. You know all about Thunderbirds. What was it under this?
Yes, I am an Anglophile.
No, I had an Anglophile, that was it, British file. Sorry, I've been up since 8 and I've done like my shift at work and stuff, so I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm like the second Scott Hall RF Shoot interview. Have you had the displeasure of watching that?
Hmm?
Did you watch many shoot interviews?
I don't watch much shoot interviews mainly because I usually don't have the money to pay for them.
Oh, that's fine. But good old YouTube. But if you watch one shoot interview ever, never make it the Scott Hall RF Volume 2. It's Scott Hall in the Hawaiian shirt looking asleep saying, "Can we do it tomorrow?" I will do it now. And Scott Hall saying, "Okay, I'll just fall asleep midway." It's great. Fantastic. Everybody should watch it at least once and go, "Wow, RF, what a company." So, not wanting to let this interview go the same way, what's your next question?
Nikki's got a question for you.
Yay.
I do. Since you brought up the shoot videos, I've noticed that that's become a new staple on the far end of your Botchmanias.
Mm.
Starting somewhere around the 80s, I believe.
Yes,
is that
that's right.
You're running are you running out of material, or are you just...
No.
You're just getting some God, better ideas once you find the match they're discussing.
Yeah, it's just, I do like listening to shoot interviews. I used to work at a library and it used to be, the best thing ever to record a shoot interview and do work at the same time and it would just fly over, and you'd learn stuff like the Jim Cornette shoot interview, I've listened to that so many times I can probably recite it if I chose to. I'm not, but it's, especially the Jim Cornette scaffold match thing, I think I did it once with, I can't remember which one it was, like the first one, but people said, "That's great, I love it when you do that, it's so professional." I think it must have been the New Age Outlaws shoot interview. But it's not a matter of, now I'll just reuse this footage, because I didn't, I mean, well, yeah, it is. because I am reusing the footage, but I'm trying to think of a plausible excuse to get around it. It's a lot funnier and entertaining when you have Road Dogg and Billy Gunn talking about something than it is just having it by itself. I would go with that. That's a good enough argument. And Jim Cornette, I'm not going to even argue for having Jim Cornette talk about something, because I think Jim Cornette should narrate anything, like the Southern American version of Stephen Fry.
Yes. If there ever is a North American version of QI, have Jim Cornette as host.
Yeah. Just question one, what would you shove up Vintrozo's ass? And it carries on like that.
A flaming pick.
And TNA would be the QI alarm, I believe.
Yeah, just comes up TNA. Wrong. That's it.
Sorry.
So yes, we actually do have the QI
TNA,
alarm on the show.
So whenever I mention TNA on here, we'll hear. That was your cue.
Oh, sorry.
Whenever we mention TNA on the show. Yeah.
I love Scott Steiner. Let's see what else we got here. There's been some rumblings through the Twitterverse. God, I hate that name.
Oh.
It's a lamer name than the WWE Universe.
I was going to say, it's just as bad as that.
Yeah. Loose stool water. It's ass gravy of the highest kind.
We should address them like Scott Steiner, just like, oh, my freaks out there, you know, on Twitter.
Yeah. And that's probably going to be Daniel Bryan Danielson's thing when he does an interview next week on NXT.
Oh, great.
The sporting one, Noah Antweiler, recently said in a tweet that he says you've been ducking him.
Yeah, I spoke to Noah Antweiler, and I emailed him saying, you know, you have such a fabulous name. I mean, Noah Antweiler, that's a wrestling name, I think, personally. It's Noah Antweiler. You yourself are calling it, like, the Noah Antweiler Show, and you think, wow, what is that show about? The spoony one. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, great. But anyway, Noah Antweiler, and I'm going to refer to him in his full name because I like saying it, yeah, he did a mock Botchamania video, and he did it so brilliantly, he decided to use video game music with the sound effects over it, because apparently it's an art form to record NES music with no sound effects. And basically said, I'm coming for you, Matthew, at SummerSlam. And, yeah, literally dozens of people said, wow, the Spoony Man did something. I didn't entirely understand it, but he mentioned Botchamania a few times, so it must be aimed at you. Oh, wow, that's great. That guy who's so original and watches videos and says, oh, wasn't Hulk Hogan's movie a bad film? And I go, yeah, well, that's cutting edge, you know. You know, well, up next, Viscera is fat. You know, it just goes well. And basically, yeah, he's been saying stuff like, oh, I'm being him. I think maybe he unintentionally took offense to me saying, oh, Antweiler is a great name. You can totally see, like, Gunstar Heroes, if they ever do, like, the expansion. You go see a giant dragon with laser eyes and say, come up, Noah Antweiler, effects, flying spoons, you have to use double flame to kill it. But, yeah, how this works out, I do not know, because usually I'm a very lovable guy on the internet. People just go, oh, hey, let me interview one of my shows so we can get hits. Or, hey, let's radio, or hey, let's rainbow kiss, something like that. And this is the first instance of somebody going, Matthew, you are really lame, I hate you. That is dual video style. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. You see,
what the hell was that?
He has a robot, I have a dragon.
Oh, right. Oh, the dragon. Oh, right, yeah, I remember the dragon.
Yeah, the dragon. That reminds me, I have to feed him. So I fed him Julia Reed.
Uh-huh. It sounds like you need to chase the dragon at the minute, but go on.
Yeah. No, Julia Reed puts anybody to sleep, so he's going to be napping for a few hours.
Oh, that's great.
Well, it was either that or Jeremy Clarkson.
Hey.
I'm going to get this back on track before this gets any weirder. how goes it with your website, since it seems that YouTube just doesn't seem to approve of your sense of humor?
Yeah, for some reason YouTube really doesn't like me using copyrighted footage on some videos. It's great. A lot of the Matthew Somethings Men account still has all the videos on. So basically stopped when they give you three warnings. You know, if you violate it twice, I'm planning on not uploading any. I didn't realize I'd gone over the two ones last time. That's why my current account is down. But yeah, sometimes they'll say, hey, that video was more copyrighted than the other videos you've been uploading, so we'll have to take that down. I'm like, okay, I'll just leave, you know, backlash is all right, but you know, you leave extreme rules alone. So I'm currently, that's not a word, I did try and set up a website a few months ago with a guy, I won't say his name because basically he was a very nice person, knew not one single of information that was required to set it up properly. Basically spent months uploading all the stuff, getting it ready, and I didn't advertise it properly because I wanted it to be like fully operational, like the great Star Wars moment. Website with like all the Botchamania videos, all the stuff on it. Yeah, like, oh wow, you know, it's the Aladdin's Cave of Botchamania. Rather than, oh right, we've got a website and there's three videos on it. Yeah, because I don't believe in like half-assing things. So yeah, on the day
kind of reminds me of, sorry.
On the day that I was going to upload a video to advertise it, because some people knew anyway, because like some people using the initiative put in botchamania.net and it came up. And hey, look, there's a website, and told some people. We were getting great hits on the website that I hadn't properly advertised. It all went tits up because he hadn't got advertising yet. And so we had to go a step back. So I spent months trying to do this website that went $500 into debt without most of the people who go on YouTube knowing it existed. It's like, yeah, it's doomed to fail. But now I've got a new guy. And we're setting it up, and he's a lot more professional because he used to work for Marvel.com. And, you know, last time I checked, Marvel.com was used by professionals and made by professionals. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's progressing slowly because I've moved since then, and we don't have internet in our house that's good enough to work properly. We have a dongle that, you know, every time you do anything, it goes over the limit. So it's basically going to public libraries and cafes and other landing places and stealing their bandwidth for the price of a cup of tea. So it's progressing a lot slower than I'd like to. And, you know, it did over YouTube in general. But again, once it gets done, we'll be patient and it'll get sorted out.
Right.
It's not what you want to hear, because some people will be like, you know, give us a Botchamania, because, you know, the best fans, the ones who say, you're a dick, Matthew, or you haven't uploaded the video in like 3 hours. You know, so it's nice to be insulted for not doing something they like. You know, you've got something of a following there when people are like, I hate you so much, where are my Botchamanias? Ah.
It's only been 4 hours, you lazy bastard.
No, just put up another Regal blip with, read this.
Yeah, just Regal pointing in all directions. I should give, like, Regal a Shiva amount of arms and just have them, like, read that, then that, then that, then that, then that, and see how long it takes people to they get it.
Yeah.
But what am I supposed to be looking at? What? I don't get it. The floor? There's nothing on the floor. I'm watching Botchamania, so I'm not wearing any trousers. So, what? I don't get it. So, next question. Go on.
We're just having such a fun time here.
Hey.
Let's talk more video games, because it's something I really enjoy. Let's talk some Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, yeah. Which one?
It doesn't matter, because let's say you had one quarter in a Street Fighter machine, any Street Fighter machine in the world. It could be Alpha 3, it could be Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Who's your character?
Zangief.
Ooh.
I picked Zangief because I love Street Fighter to death. Growing up playing it, I'm very happy that it's like incredibly popular now. The fact that everybody, like, you know, kids go, yay, Super Street Fighter 4, and I go, what the hell? But yeah, one part of me does dislike. I've seen tournaments, I've gone on friends' houses, I've gone around like clubs and stuff and played it, and it's always Ryu versus Ryu or versus Ken, or if you're a dick, you pick Akuma, but that's just ungentlemanly. So it's all right, the guys and geese who, and it's just Hadouken, Hadouken, Hadouken fest. So I pick Zangief just to spite them. Because it's, oh, look, Hadouken, oh no, Spinning Lariat, you missed completely, oh no, Final Atomic Buster, I've won, yeah. And he's Zangief, and he's just a likable person anyway.
Then you're going to like whose Nikki's favorite character is.
Go on.
Well, I play Blanca.
Yay.
And I had mastered him from standard on. I am documented as the first person in Orlando to have met, fought, been killed multiple times by, and finally defeated Akuma when he debuted in Super Street Fighter.
Really?
I was,
even I couldn't beat him then.
Well, I had the good fortune when I was working at the video game store. Mm-hmm. Somebody had told me that the Super Turbo machine had been installed at an arcade that was located in one of the largest McDonald's in tourist hell of Orlando. After we closed up, we all piled into a car and drove over there. Everybody was taking turns trying to figure out super combos and stuff, but I was actually trying to finish the game. They had given me, this is what I want to do, and they said, okay. So first time I go through, I got through three matches and lost.
Yeah.
Second time around, I got all the way to Spain and lost. Third time around,
okay.
So third time around, I actually get all the way to Thailand, and I come in on Bison stage. There's mm-hmm. no music. There's no music playing. There's a little the little placard with his picture is blacked out.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what's going on. And then something flashes by Blanca. The screen goes completely white, and you hear somebody getting their ass kicked, eight ways to Sunday. Mm. I thought, oh my God, I'm dead.
Yeah.
The screen clears up, and there's somebody standing over Bison's carcass.
Who was it? Did he take off his hood to reveal Vince McMahon? It was me, Austin.
It was me all along.
Oh, I've got a new video ending. All right, I'm just going to write that down. Yeah, great, great. Yeah, sorry, continue. But I do miss that type of thing.
Oh, hell no!
I do miss those type of gaming secrets, because now with the internet and everything, and I'm guilty of doing it myself, just like, you know what's going to happen. It's not a case of, like, oh, I'm playing a game. Wait, what the hell's happened? Oh, my God, what a surprise. It's like, oh, okay, if I want to get, like, God Rugal in Capcom vs. SNK, I have to do this and this and this. As opposed to, oh, I'm just playing the game. Blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, it's God Rugal. Oh my God, oh God.
We didn't. Everybody was trying to figure out combos. Nobody knew, how
yeah.
when a combo was going to show up, and when he did, if I had had a controller in my hand, I'd have dropped it on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, and you beat him.
And not the first time. It took.
I was gonna say that. Yeah.
First time he killed me.
Well, that's fair enough. But, I mean, fighting Akuma then is like trying to fight any of the SNK games. Are you any SNK... SNK games?
Kari Warriors. Oh, God.
I've only listened to the music on that. But, yeah. There's no need for that. Yeah,
Kari Warriors. I'll say that right now.
Oh.
I played the NES version. It's so fucking bad.
Oh, that's a great review. It's good to only one when it comes to so many things. Actually, I should point out, I was just trying to play a thing there. We're actually really cool, and we're just trying to playfully do a feud, but nah, I did realise, as I was saying those things, it's like, oh, no, the fans who listen to Botchamania are... I love them to death, but a lot of people who watch videos, I'll say something, and people will misinterpret it and go, oh, did you hear that? That means, like, Matthew's pro TNA. I'm like, no, okay. So I just thought, no, that's a really stupid idea. So I'll say, Spoonie Man has amusing videos. I like his work. I love his name. I like his name above all those other things I listed. And, yeah, if he wants to playfully do a video thing, then that's cool. And I have no idea what the hell we're going to do, but we'll figure something out. I mean, what would you do then? I mean, you appear to be fans of the Spoonie, or at least aware of the Spoonie one.
Yeah.
What
I
would you suggest?
Say, oh, how about a collab? How about a collab video? Mm-hmm. Maybe have you and Spoonie review probably... I just have this weird idea of you and Spoonie reviewing not No Holds Barred, but that crappy WCW movie.
Ready to Rumble.
Yes, Ready to Rumble.
Good God. David Arquette, who loves wrestling as much as he loves bad films, as much as he loves getting in fights in NBA games.
I forgot about
almost
that.
All of them in one swoop, so...
God, yep. You're right. There's so many David Arquette jokes, you know. Well, the ones we just mentioned, but, you know, that's at least three. You know, that's more than Spoonie usually gets. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's as good as it's going to get. But, yeah, we'll figure something out. But, again, it's not, I was like, yeah, that'd be a great idea. And you think something's going to be a good idea, and you just can't think of anything. Like, we'll do something. We'll do DeviantArt. We'll write fan fiction, we'll do something, and then it's like, oh, nothing's going to ever happen because neither of us can think of anything. But yeah, watching Ready to Rumble was definitely not one of those things I thought we were going to say, but whatever. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. It's not bad. It's bad enough on watching Thunder. Oh yeah, I'll just watch Ready to Rumble as well. Oh yeah, yeah, why not? Yeah.
And you're telling me you have, and I remember you telling me in PM, you have every single Thunder ever.
I have every single Thunder. Yes. I jokingly said, because WWE CW died randomly. You remember this, it was only a few months ago, and then NXT started. And people went, WWE CW. They didn't call it that, I call it that, because they're like, apparently some people objected it to be called WWE CW, but I'm like, I objected it to be called ECW, so yeah, kiss my ass. Do a video of that, okay, and did, like, reprint. Of, like, all some stuff that happened. Yeah, yeah. And the jokingly put, all right, now it's dead. Everybody remembers it being, like, this great show. Like, WCW, remember when? Yeah. It's like, and I said, nobody watched Thunder and went, No, that wasn't it. If Botchamania existed in 2001, people would be saying, Thunder, wasn't it a great show? Remember this, remember that? Because retro goggles, everything's good. When 411 Mania, they did these great articles called YouTubular, and they did one just looking at YouTube matches for jobbers and obscure characters and stuff. They did one for Kerwin White, and all the comments were, Kerwin White was such a great character. So underrated. He could have gone places. I was like, no, he wasn't. Bad things apparently become good after a while. Give it a few years, and we'll all be... give it 2 years, and we'll be going, Drew McIntyre, God, he was such an underrated heel. I liked him. I said, no, we won't.
Nikki, somebody agrees with me about Drew McIntyre.
God, that was so loud, I thought it was a sound effect. Like a stock, like, yes, like, no. It was you then. Oh, good bad. The thing he has going for him is incredibly sexy legs, and he looks like he's orgasming every time he gets hit. That's selling, apparently.
He's a wonderful view, but he's channeling Randy Orton.
He's channeling Lex Luger. Well, see, looks great on a 2x4. Not 2x4, that's a stick. I mean, a photo. I can't remember the dimensions. Sorry, it's late. It looks great on a 2x4. Not a really big stick. No. So I said, I'll do Thunder Mania. And he said, yeah, hey, you should do... And everybody like, jumped. I said, you should do Thunder Mania. Please do Thunder Mania. I'm like, no way. Come on, torrent them all. It'll be easy. I had a look on some of the torrent websites. Like, I could have feasibly done it, but it would take me like years. I can't even upload videos at the minute with the crappy I've got. Torrent Thunder. Do all this. I was like, no, I don't have the time, the space on my hard drive, the urge, all the things. I'm like, no. I was like, the only way I can do it is if, because the tape trading scene. It's still called tape. I still call them tapes. I'm sorry, but I have to. You can buy Thunder. You can buy at any show. You can buy worldwide. You can buy British versions of worldwide. And sound effect.
With the stupid sensor bars?
Yeah. You know, you know, anything that has been on wrestling, you can buy. So I said this, and I says, oh, look, if you pay me, you know, here's the donation thing. And I swear it lasted about 3 days before I was sent the entire money for it. And it was £90 in British money. And I've got them all. And they're just lying there, staring at me like the telltale heart from Edgar Allan Poe. Like, watch us. You know you'll have to watch us. I've done one of them. I have done one Thunder so far. And, you know, I'm only up to 1998. And it made, I don't know what year it was. That's not pretty exciting to listen to anyway. But, yeah, 1998 had got plenty of bad stuff on it. And that's when it was good. Or not good, but, you know, as close as good as Thunder gets. You know, 99's when we get the really horrible matches. 2000's where he just loses the plot completely. And with David Arquette, him again, David Arquette winning. So it's going to be, yeah, so Thunder Mania is going to be something that's going to take a while. I'm also reviewing some of them for 411 Mania, but I realised, like, due to the overwhelming number of hits, I think at least 10 people looked at them. I won't be doing them for all of them and just reviewing all the other stupid stuff I've got in my collection, because I like writing about stuff, and I'm trying to get better at it, because I'm not quite Adam Nadeff or any of the guys from The Wrestling Fan or even Scott Keith. And my dog with a typewriter in its mouth could do Scott Keith. But, you know, the more you do it, the better you get at it. But yeah, great success. So I'm just going to try and review the stuff that nobody has reviewed, like the Extremely Strange Wrestling shows where they had the 8 infected syringes match, stuff like that. Stuff that you don't see reviews of very often. Or Matsunaga versus the Crocodile. Or Rodman Down Under, stuff like that.
Yes, or Jimmy Garvin versus a bear.
Tracy Smothers versus a bear.
Tracy Smothers versus a bear. Yeah.
Tracy Smothers has been a shield, and he knows true pain.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you one more question, and then we're going to... You have a couple things ready for us, don't you?
I do. The Room 101. Again,
yes.
Anglophile.
It's a very quick question, and if you're a British person, you'll get... I mean... This is for people who are listening. If you're a British person, you'll get this. If you're not, look up the Crystal Maze. Ready?
I'm ready.
Better host, Richard O'Brien or Edward Tudor Pole?
Oh, come on. Really, really, yeah, asking me that.
Yes.
That's like comparing Undertaker Matt Calloway to Undertaker Brian Lee. Richard O'Brien.
I had to ask that. Sorry, dude.
No, that's okay. Not to say, actually, you know, the other Crystal Maze guy was good, but, you know, Richard O'Brien. He had no hope.
And Mumsy.
Did you ever see the Dungeons & Dragons film?
No, I have not.
The one highlight of that film, and I'm not kidding when I say the only highlight of that film, is when Richard O'Brien shows up, it's basically like, mwaha, I am sort of like the Frenchman from The Matrix Reloaded, and they do a not too bad Crystal Maze homage. And it's worth watching just for that. The rest of the film, fast forward, or, God help us, just look on YouTube for it.
Yeah.
You speaking of the original film, or one of the later, quote-unquote...
No, it was just called Dungeons & Dragons. I don't think there weren't many dungeons and there weren't many dragons in it. So, I think there was an and, okay. Maybe.
Okay.
So now it's time for everybody's favorite North American Wrestling Connection side game, Room 101. Right now, I have found
a great intro. That was it.
Yeah. Suppose you could throw anything into the realm of Room 101. Well, here today I have a guest who wants to throw a whole bunch of crap into Room 101. Hello, I am Paul Merton, although I'm not.
Have you seen Paul Merton on some of the Channel 5 shows? Like Paul Merton goes to Asia.
Oh yeah, I've seen Paul Merton in China.
Yeah, oh, you'll lose a lot of respect for him watching those shows.
Yeah.
God. Well, to further prove that great British people can do bloody horrible things, here's me on Room 101. Okay, shall I just start, or...?
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with this, being a British person and everything.
Yes.
I remember when Nick Hancock used to present it.
Oh, God, Nick Hancock. What a tosser.
Oh, you. You try. Okay, my third
yes,
thing
I do try, but sadly I don't have the voice for it. Anyway, you have a couple of items that you're willing to put on this pedestal to which I could pull a handle in a very funny manner.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shall I just shoot?
Yeah.
So to speak? Nah, sorry, that's got way too many negative connotations. But okay, the first thing I would induct into Room 101 would be Spotfests. If you're familiar with that term, shall I go over it a bit more?
Yeah, please go over it.
Maybe it's because I've watched so much wrestling over a period of time, but Spotfests like Money in the Bank, really bad indie shows where they'll have two guys doing moves just because, oh, look at me, I did a Shining Wizard. Oh, wow, look, a top rope powerbomb. Oh, wow, reverse Royal Kamana. Matches with emphasis on moves rather than selling, storytelling, characterization, you know, making the crowd care. Styles like that, matches like that. I'm sure I could name loads of people out there, but it's, you know, I can't even say words. That's how much I'm in anger over this thing. But do you know what I'm talking about while I regroup?
I know what you're talking about, and I kind of agree. I like I like Spotfests every now and again. It's just fun and wild and a great way to get the crowd roused up. But I agree with you in the sense that it is just moves for the sake of moves. And I've seen this from the other end. I actually worked in independent wrestling.
Okay.
And I went to a tribute show where we had a bunch of Chikara and lightweight guys who wanted to do a big TLC match.
Okay.
And they spent most of their time when they first walked in, all the time while they're suiting up, and while the show was going on, they're still trying to figure out neat stuff that they can do with this match. We had the honor of having Necro Butcher there, and he looked in there, and they came out and said, hey, can you put us later on the card? We're still trying to figure our match out. And I swear to God, if Necro Butcher didn't face palm, he just shook his head and sat down and said, I already know what I'm doing for my match.
Just let me take off my shoe and kick you in the head.
Well, no, it's essentially, you know, who am I fighting? Okay, we'll talk about it when we get out there.
Yeah, chair slam, bar fight, take thumbtack bump, get bit. No, that's cynical. I like Necro Butcher. But I liked him in 2001 when he was skinny and had face paint. But yeah, I understand what you're saying completely. It's definitely, when it's done right, and you know, you count the point, when it's done right, you get the ladder match at WrestleMania 2000, which I think I've thought in my head. But that's when it's done right. That's also agreeing with myself, when that's when the spots are built up, when care and thought is put into it. When it's just two guys doing moves, like, you know, you can see him watch way through a Hurricanrana. Like, if it's Amazing Red or Slim J or Jack Evans, and you're not an ounce. Why should I care for their move? Sorry?
I knew you were going to say Jack Evans.
I don't think any wrestler that's like McIntyre, at least he's physically great and has a nice ponytail and, you know, would look great covered in whipped cream. You know, I think I'm very positive. But there are some wrestlers who, for some reason or another, I just like, and Jack Evans is one of them. I'm sure he's a perfectly nice person. I'm sure he's good to his puppies. I'm sure he buys the Big Issue and he can afford it. You know, I'm sure he does all these charity events for people. You know, I'm sure he's got a great big baby collection. You know, it's all fun, but I just don't like his style of wrestling. Oh, look at it, 9 flips.
It's Jack Evans. I've seen his work in various places. I've seen him in a couple Ring of Honor matches. But I think the biggest offender when it comes to Spotfest has got to be, the early X Division in TNA, where it was, oh look, here's a move, oh look, here's another move, oh look, here's another move.
Yeah.
Oh look, Ultimate X, ooh, let's do a Tower of Doom spot, and then let's just get up and do another Tower of Doom spot.
Yeah, quick, quick, everybody get up, quick, quick, why, we're going to do a Tower of Doom spot. Like, just make the ounce of sense. Oh, come on, let's do it. I think somebody coined that the exhibition type match is like the video game style match or something. I'm like yeah. what video game? What, I mean, one that carries on and makes no sense? What, like, Weird Dreams for the Amiga, or that Beat Takashi one for the NES? Yeah, Midway, Brian Kendrick comes through and has to beat up his wife with his shoe. That's way too obscure and not funny a joke. I don't know why I made that. But yeah, so that's what I mean. When it's done right, you know, I mean, the Dudleys and the Hart, yeah, Dudleys know what knew what they were doing, you know, the ring experience. ANC had the ingenuity, and the Hardys were like, yeah, we'll dive off stuff. So those are three really good elements putting together a match. But when it's done wrong, you get, oh, I don't know, the best around doing a ladder match. God bless. I found out Eddie Kingston watches Botchamania yesterday, which is quite nice. I like you, Eddie. Hello. Yeah, you won't be listening to this yet, but you know, thanks anyway.
The day that Eddie Kingston listens to our show.
Of course he does, yeah. Sorry, Eddie. He's got a great accent. No, yeah.
Anybody listens to this show.
That's why I can say all these I Takashi NES game jokes and get away with it. And mention Dynamite Heady. You know, nobody even knows what Dynamite Heady is. Oh, I love Star Heroes. Yeah, wait, what's an alien soldier? I don't know. Isn't that Sega game? No.
Yeah, it is a Sega game.
No. Is it like Alien Storm? No. Is it like a sequel? No. Is it like Alien 3? No. Is it like Alien 8? No, shut up. So I would say that. Okay, bad spot fests. Not good spot fests. I'm sure there's other ones that name other than TLC, but yeah, good spot fests. One that
I'll
needs
give you
something.
I will give you. Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So, we do the sound effects? Or do you do the email?
I have sound effects.
Brilliant.
Awesome. Okay.
We have time for one more before Nikki has to do, we have to do a couple other things outside and prepare for the actual show.
Oh, okay.
Right.
The actual
and
show.
Plus, I know you probably, it's probably 1 a.m. over there soon, so you probably want
yeah,
to probably get
some sleep. I'm fine talking, but I can talk as long, however long as you need me to, man. Don't worry about me. I'm getting in the groove now, so.
Okay.
Okay, so let me think. Number two. Think. That mine's gone blank.
I got one I want to put in. Something that's, and you've probably never heard of this, but although it's British. You being a huge video game fan.
Yes.
Especially of classics like before 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So remember how I mentioned about Sparky eating Julia Reed?
Yes.
I present High Score.
Okay.
A titanic pile of crap done by Gamer TV.
Oh, okay.
How bad is it, you ask?
Oh, how bad is it? Sorry, I missed my cue.
It is the only video game show in the world where you don't play a video game.
What, not like Games World, then?
They didn't play any video games. I'm serious.
Oh, no.
And I don't count freeware games that you play on the computer, either.
Gasp.
Yes.
What is Gamer TV? I have no idea. What the hell is that?
I think it was some Sunday afternoon block for nerds on Sky, I guess.
Hey, I'm a nerd. Oh, I don't have Sky. See, I'm a poor nerd, so. Yeah. Oh, well, that's a shame. Well, I mean, that's very newsworthy, there being a game show, a video game show that isn't worth watching. But see, there was Games World. It was all right, first series. There was Games Master. It was good in the same way that a Sunday Sport is good. There were the horrible things on Sky One. That came after Games World that weren't even worth naming. There were films, video games, and music, I think that was in it. That was pretty good, actually, because it was just clips. And then there's probably some other stuff that wasn't worth watching. Oh, and Bad Influence, and that was great. And that's it. Everything else is the drizzling shit. I don't care if there's a guy with a faux hawk talking about how great Halo 3 got the big, muscular, marine guy with a goatee beard man 9 is. Don't care. So, my next thing for Room 101 about wrestling that I dislike is probably... shitty fans. I always go with the intention of the wrestling show to have a good time. I'm going to treat it like it's theatre. Not because I'm written, oh, I'm super class and my wrestling is better than your wrestling. I mean, in the sense that I'm going to go and have a good time. In the sense that I'm going to cheat the good guys, I'm going to boo the bad guys, I'm there because I want to be there. Why else would I pay to get there? Why else would I make the effort of putting on clothes? You know, why would I do any of these things if I did not have the intention of going and doing this? And it's something that drives me insane to see on all these indie shows where these wrestlers, especially in Philly, are... Well, that's it, I mean, not to call out all of it, it just comes up on DVD. In Philadelphia, all you hear is the sound of crickets chirping and loud obnoxious fans shouting, like, boring, or... I hate the boring chant. Boring, or something. Because then it just encourages the nervous wrestlers. And you get the feeling when you're watching someone nervous as hell wrestling in front of Philly fans, which is...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, must be like 8 Mile. You know, and it's, you know, champ boring, and encourage him just to do stuff, and that still sucks, you're not dead. But then stuff like, what's some 2003 PWG, I don't like PWG, some of the stuff I've watched of it and of that era, but yeah.
That's Parsley and Gorilla, right?
Yes, but the fans are just, you know, when you know, when I go to a show, I don't have to be anything about me either. I don't go to a wrestling show and like wear a big neon shirt that says, I am Mafu of Botchamania. Yes, yeah, it's me. No, I go there just to blend in, have a good time and speak to people. You know, if I can't make a new friend when I go to see wrestling, then I'm not happy.
No.
So yeah, I call it, boo. But so I don't go with the intention of getting myself over. I'm not part of the show, I'm a fan. So when you're watching all those indie shows and you get the PWG angry fan, or you get the Super Dragon fan from Botchamania, and all these other guys are just like, why? It was all right when ECW had the fans, the super fans, because they went and they, you know, they booed the heels, they cheered the faces and started the chants and got the crowd into it. But it's, you know, look at me, look how witty I can be. And it's like, shut, no, nobody's here to see you. Nobody's here to hear you ruin stuff. Like reading reviews about Ring of Honor shows where it's like there was an angle and somebody turned on somebody, maybe somebody who was feuding with Delirious, I can't remember, but you know, they attacked them and they left them bleeding. And there's a walking, you know, this big angle, like, oh no, I can't believe so-and-so did this, oh, it's the next part in the saga. As he's walking down the way to the ring on the ramp, holding his head bleeding, somebody, you can hear somebody on DVD show, nice play job. Oh, good pull-up, or something like that, and you're just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
No. I know the fans, those kind of fans that you're talking about. I know two guys up in northeast Ohio. I've mentioned them to Seidelman, that we had two guys who just wouldn't shut up throughout the show. They were just shouting
in the bad way.
During the matches, they're just shouting random stupid crap.
Mm-hmm.
Cheering heels, booing faces, making stupid comments, just not enjoying the show. They're trying to, you know, draw attention to themselves to the point that Carlito actually threw his apple at them to try to shut them up. At intermission, they come running up to me and say, "Look what we got!" I said, "Enjoy it. You've pissed off. You not only have you pissed off all the wrestlers, you pissed off half the fans."
That was it. Yeah.
You're still in the building.
Yeah, but that's it. You can't, you know, the best way to get them to shut up is to say, you know, shut up. But that's what they want. They want the attention. They crave the attention. See, with the Botchamania videos, I don't want it to be like, my favorite present. I want it to just be like some fans enjoying it. You don't have to like me. You don't have to know me. I could be anybody. I could be a brain in a jar, like Mother Brain. It wouldn't matter. So, you know, I'm irrelevant. I'm just, you know. I'd rather have people enjoy the videos than, like, me have my name. But okay, obviously, it's, like, twofold, because there are some points where I was like, yeah, I do need an ego boost, but I'm more interested in entertaining people than I am of, like, whoring my name out. which is one of the reasons why I'm really crap at advertising and really that thankful for radio shows such as this, so I can at least hype and chat with people in a normal way, which I'm very thankful for. Thank you again, both of you. But yeah, that really annoys me. And I just thought of something else behind me ranting for room 101, part 3, before you get the sound effect thing in.
Well, here's the end of part 2, because I agree with you on the fans. I mean, some of the fans can really ruin a show.
Okay, go on.
For example, I was watching, this was a Raw show a few months ago. Sure, it wasn't a good Raw show, but it wasn't anything by means that deserved to be railed on by people.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, God. I know it's not good, but shut up. I still at least want to try to enjoy this.
Yeah.
And sometimes fans can, some stupid, idiotic fans can ruin a show. I mean, you can get fans who stray away from the confines of the seats and find their way backstage and ruin. You had, remember a few years back when Batista, you had this on, I think, Botchmania 76, I believe. Batista was warming up, and you get this guy go, yeah, 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 woo, and running outside, completely putting himself over. Batista was like, what the hell?
Oh, that wasn't a botch.
Oh.
That was like WWE's attempt at something. The Raw was out of control to set up Vince McMahon gets hit by a piece of scenery. But,
right.
Yeah, I also think it was a parody of people. You know, whoa, look at me, whoa. Like Royal Rumble 2008, they had that fan. Although he may have actually genuine mental problems, but he sure acted like as if he had them. So if he did, I apologize, Mr. Yellow Shirt fan. Who stood at the entrance ramp, and when anybody came out, you could see him dancing, like full-on dancing. Like, look at me, I'm trying to get laid. Wah! Dancing. It's quite insane. So, shitty fans.
I'm going to get laid. I'm going to call up a friend, and I'm going to get laid. That's all there is to it. And it's the joy of...
Well done you, yeah. Meals on wheels.
Meals on wheels, no doubt. Stupid fans, dear God. Can't live with them, can't live without them, but we can put them in room 101.
Thank you very much.
Super fantastic. Should I do one now? Because I've got one off the top of my head. Or you want to...
Yeah, for the last one.
Okay, great. I'll just follow up. People who don't watch indies or badmouth indies without having seen them. That's a little pet peeve, because in the Botchmania, there's a great divide of people who... I say there's a divide as if it's equal footing. It's not as like 70-30. Like, people who don't like the indies... Like, I include them. I include them on Botchmania not to say, hey, look at these guys trying in this high school gym. I'm doing it because I consider, to a certain degree, you know, if it's filmed by Smart Mark Video or High Spots, you know, it's worthy of the wrestling tagline.
Right.
So if it's wrestling, I'm saying Batista versus Cena is as much wrestling as... Oh, Derek the Great from Midway Mid-South wrestling the Suicide Kid. I don't know why I thought that. I just thought of random stuff. But yeah, you know, you can see what I'm trying to say. It's annoying to see people go like, "Ah, oh, indie wrestling's stupid. It's just yard tarders and you know people who can't." Some of it is, of course, it is. But you know, it's no different to the good wrestling to bad wrestling is no different from WWE to TNA. I mean, you know, I mean TNA, the band, the team. 3D, who I used to love, I don't like them now, you know, really, they're one of my favourite tag teams, and now they're awful, but that's what I'm saying, there's bad wrestlers on the big shows, the main shows, again, Drew McIntyre has sexy legs, so to say, indie wrestling's just, oh, it's full of bad wrestlers, like that, it's like, but then again, if you've seen it, and you didn't like it, that's fair enough, but the people just outright judge indie wrestling, because it looks low class, it's not, there's not huge neon lights everywhere, there's not pyro, I can't even pronounce that word right. There's no fizzy things, there's no eggs, whatever. Then it's like, oh, okay, how narrow-minded can you be? Because I love watching like random indie wrestling stuff, just as much stuff as I can find. You know, if you keep on watching one type of wrestling, then you're going to get bored very quickly, in my opinion. So I'm trying to watch lots of different types of them, so I don't become bored. And again, I like to come out to own wrestling because I used to read a publication called World of Wrestling magazine, and it looked like the coolest shit on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my god, this genuine underground wrestling federation, you know. And it was stuff like, ah, CZW were going to help hold an exploding ring match, the first one in America, with Atsushi Onita, you know, King of Japan, deathmatching, yeah. But they, you know, but then a promoter got in the way, so they just said, fuck it, and ran a show in a field instead, and still had the match. I'm like, to me, that was cool as hell. Like, wow, yeah, plug everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now CZW, you know, if you don't like deathmatch wrestling, then, you know, there is a certain section of CZW you're not going to like. It's fair enough. I do like, you know, the two big fat guys just hitting one another like a gif, you know, over and over again. Oh, that's crap. Then we've got, like, you know, genuine effort and athleticism put into it, then it's cool.
Yeah, I'll give you a good
example.
That was a mind
rant. But go on.
Yeah, I'll give you a good example when it comes to magazines. I used to, every month or two or so, I used to go to the local Rite Aid and get a copy of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, you know, read the articles. Sure, you had some, you know, articles from the Big Two, well, back then the Big Three. But the thing that I enjoyed most was going to the near the back and reading the results of all these other local shows like Pennsylvania Championship Wrestling and also Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling.
Right, right. The Dusty Rhodes thing.
Yeah, and all these other smaller organizations with USWA and all these other shows.
Yeah,
it was just
Alphabet Soup, JAPW.
Yeah, Jersey All Pro Wrestling.
MLW.
Yeah, Major League Wrestling in 2003, who had Joey Styles and had a bunch of ECW guys, plus the revival of ECW.
Oh, yeah, that didn't really work, did it? Yeah, I watched a few MLW shows and read some online reports in the time, and it was MLW was known as a show where the best wrestlers go to have their worst matches. Yeah, at least they tried, though. But you could see them kicking themselves in the back going, what the hell? Ah, damn it. You know, why aren't these guys having a good match? But yeah, you know, at least they're treating stuff. So yeah, that's my little minor rant about that, because, you know, I always like trying to spot the little guy and everything. Not always, I'm trying to sell you stuff so people can go, you know,
because
you say one thing nowadays and people quote you like months later and go, hey, you counteracted yourself, boo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I like indie wrestling, and I continue like indie wrestling.
Yeah, I'm
still there. Yabu sucks. Those are going to be in Botchamania. You can't stop it. It counts as wrestling. I'm going to put on Zandig versus Lobo matches. I'm going to do an entire Botchamania dedicated to nothing but Dysfunction versus Freak Show. And you're going to love it.
And you'll still get about 50,000 viewers.
Yeah. People will watch it, go, this sucks. And I'll go, okay, right. And I'll set it to Dancing Mad again, which was the last video that had everybody going, what the hell is this? I'll set it to Dancing Mad in reverse.
I wish I had a botch to send you, because I had something very Botchamania worthy, but the website went away before I could rip it.
The website went away? What did it run?
Well, I worked for a fed called Pro Training Wrestling. Jimmy Wang Yang, before, when he was still with the E, started his own little school wrestling league, and I worked down there for a little bit. One of our last shows, we had Shark Boy on.
Oh, I wonder what happened to Shark Boy. Because I was watching When Hero Met Punk last night, and there was Shark Boy, and I went, what the hell happened to him?
So they set it up that he was going to be in this big six-man tag main event, and of course, the way the match was supposed to end is that everybody out there was going to get stunnered. Well,
yes.
Jimmy's in the back.
Oh, he's still doing the Austin gimmick.
Pardon? Oh, yes,
he is. Oh, right. Oh, cool.
And Jimmy looks back at the rest of the locker room and he says, everybody's taking a stunner. I said, well, damn, I guess I'll have to get my suit back on. So, sure enough, match ends, everybody in the ring's been stunnered. The rest of the referees go out there, they all get stunnered.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line of wrestlers going out there to get stunnered one at a time. I jump in the ring, heel manager, and of course the crowd's going bonkers. They want to see this. They want to see this so badly. They want to see me get stunnered from here to hell and back. Sharky kicks me, I bend down, and I drop too soon, and it just looked horrible. I know it looked horrible. And I got booed all the way to the back by the wrestlers. I apologize.
The wrestlers booed.
Even the wrestlers were giving me hell about it. So I get to the back and I apologize to Sharky. I've never taken a stunner before. And he looked at me and he says, "That's all right. You still haven't taken one."
Oh. Yeah, but did he say it like Austin?
No, he did not, because he had his mask on at this point.
Boo.
So, character. It's
all right.
Fair
enough. All right. Well, as we end this now, in it goes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matthew, about your mania.
No worries. Bye. That was very kind. Cool.
Yes. Matthew, we had such a great time chatting with you. Please come back again.
Please.
I will. Hopefully the internet will work this time.
Yes. And I need to hook you up with Nikki because I'll explain
She's single.
To you on I'll explain to you in on MSNY.
That's fine. Are you trying to, like, plug that with MSN friends? Certainly. Oh, that's not a problem. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay,
well,
my good friend. Yeah, yeah. Make sure to watch the North American Wrestling Connection every week, or 2 weeks, or when they can be bothered.
What? No. You need to be listening, and you need to be calling. Well, no, that's at 4 o'clock in the morning in your area, so.
Hey, there's many Spurges people who watch Botchamania. The reason why I still do this. They'll still be awake. All the caffeine addicts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will be sure to post this interview on YouTube because I'm sure people would like to see it.
Oh, no. People think I'm American. This isn't going to work.
No, I'll just put Matthew and have a big British flag on.
Matthew is British! British Mania. Yeah, Nikki Heyman, Nikki Heyman and Robert Seelman review and talk to Dudley from Street Fighter 3. Yay.
No, it could be worse. It could be Eagle from the original Street Fighter.
Well, you know, how are you? I'm spinning on the spot endlessly. Oh, okay, cool. How are you? I'm a Queen song. That's it. Okay. How are you now? I'm still a Queen song. Okay, cool.
All right.
Seidelman and Nikki Heyman interview Matthew, and it's the first time you speak, it'll say, "No, this is not Doug Williams." Sorry.
Now you just made him mad, Nikki. Congratulations.
I'll shut myself out.
No, as punishment, I get to keep your Boxed Odyssey too. That's gonna end it for the show. Just save myself $20 on shipping.
Damn you, Seidelman. Beat him up from your neck.
Well, Matthew, I will talk to you soon. Actually, in a couple minutes. Nikki, we'll be back in 3 hours for the actual North American Wrestling. Until then, Robert Seidelman. Goodbye.
Bye.
Night.
Blog Talk Radio. The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Jim Caldwell. Got any load yet?
Oh, we got a lot of load, Jim.
We're up to 120 horsepower, 139, 160, 185, 246, 240, 224, 254, 260, 292, 302, 348, 409, 453, 473, 482, 520, 525.
Yes, the joy of the orgasm over Duralube.
What?
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, the show who, when we do interviews, have guests that drool over Drew McIntyre's legs, even though he knows that Drew McIntyre sucks.
My balls.
Your idea sucks.
Sorry.
No, it's got to be like this. Your idea sucks.
Chop it up, soundbite.
Yeah. Well, what's on my same time? Let's get this show on the road. Let me introduce the Hit Parade. First of all, from Toledo, Ohio, it's Josh Henninger.
Good evening, everyone.
From New York, it's VRM.
No, it's back in New Jersey because I'm finally done with this damn semester, which is why I completely fucked up my picks last week because I was super famous.
That's for getting out of the semester, dude. Not your picks. From Columbus, Ohio, Nikki Heyman.
I am less than 24 hours away from a four-day road trip. My first gauntlet run of the WWE in quite some time. Super Show, Over the Limit, Raw is Toledo, and Cleveland SmackDown NXT. I'm hoping that my night will end with Bryan Danielson beating the high holy hell out of Michael Cole again.
You're gonna get your fucking head kicked in. You're gonna get your Jim Williams kicked in.
Oh, my!
Hi, how's it going, folks? Can I give a quick shout-out before we really get cooking here? Plug the show on a group of my friends known as Wrestle Chat. It's on Facebook. Just search Wrestle Chat, and we bust each other's balls, so to speak, on there, laughing at the lighter side of wrestling and such, and actually some serious discussion and some things I'll bring up on the show tonight, thanks to those good people. So, Franklin Daniel, my buddy, he's one of the creators of it. So, Facebook.com, search for WrestleChat and join up. And if you're listening from there, we're sorry.
Yes. Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, it's time for news that we truly enjoy.
Yes.
Oh, wrong one. Oh.
Just delete the old ESPN sound effect if it gets you confused.
Yes, because there are two of them that say breaking news. Anyways, today at 2:41 on WWE.com, something that has been expected yet coming totally out of left field has happened.
It was expected.
Raw, SmackDown, WWE star in general, and NXT pro Carlito, a.k.a. Carlos Colon, or Carly Colon, as Vince.
Wow.
Thank you.
Finally. I was going to say that.
Well,
say
there's
that
a reason why. He violated the wellness policy for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And he refused treatment.
That's the
That's
kicker.
No.
So,
that's not cool.
So you want to spin the face of them, don't you?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We got a million of them, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll try to spin
them. And I don't have any of them.
That's the truth.
What now we got to figure out is, would he violate the wellness policy on? Was it painkillers or recreational drugs, is what I'm guessing.
I'd narrow it down to that. Carlito wasn't exactly known for his shape. Then again, we've seen people like Umaga and Funaki potentially get busted for what might have been steroids, but I'm going to go with recreationals because while he's had the time to work out, I don't know what kind of shape he's in, and he hasn't really done enough lately to warrant painkillers.
No offense, Matt.
No offense taken, because how long has Toledo been phoning it in?
A couple years at least, right?
Since before Primo showed up.
Mm-hmm.
So at least 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to start the chat session. Forget it.
Whoops.
Oh, well.
Chat? What's that? No, I'm kidding.
What's that? Now, the question is, who does this affect the most? Our feeling is going to affect Primo the most, because that just broke up their tag team.
True. Mm-hmm.
Now, we know vicariously WWE is well known for having a family member pay for another family member's sins.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff for Matt. Owen for Brett.
Mm-hmm.
And most notoriously, and what I kind of find interesting, Jacques Rougeau for Raymond Rougeau.
Mm-hmm.
The Fabulous K-Pac Harris? Or am I thinking wrong? What Fabulous Rougeau's?
Yeah, it was Rougeau. How do you think he got the Mountie gimmick?
Mm-hmm.
Wee wee.
Yeah. So.
But the worst that could happen to Primo is that he gets sent back down to developmental. We have another Cologne down there.
Carlito's
Orlando. Yeah, Orlando Cologne.
Primo says, Orlando, we can do this. Even if we might end up being tag teams on Superstars, we got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Is that cool?
True.
Then his phone rings and says, stop stealing my gimmick. He says, say hi to Daddy for me. Click.
Ooh. Terrific.
Now we can have Hart Dynasty versus the Hart Dynasty versus the clones who actually give a damn about their jobs.
Hmm.
Because we know Primo gives a damn.
Primo wants to share.
And Orlando just got there, and he wants to prove himself.
Mm-hmm.
So fingers crossed that this doesn't mean that Primo gets shown the door too. And I don't think that's going to happen. But Vince is punished for less.
Sure.
Yeah, Primo's a team player, so
he'll bite the bullet.
Yeah, he'll bite the bullet and take one for the team.
Yes.
So let's move on to another interesting story about Woe. TNA. In which I really need to play this again about TNA.
Stop it,
no, fucking way.
Gotta do it.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, no.
I fucking had nightmares with Weymouth as a kid. That didn't help matters.
Wummy. Yes.
I hate you.
Hey, it could be worse. You could have had nightmares about certain hosts wearing Flocati rugs as heads, as hair. So we'll move on.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
I had to change phones.
Okay.
Shocker.
Twitter tracker.
Tracker!
Okay, go ahead. Wait. This just in with a late breaking report from the Orlando Sentinel.
Hmm.
Uh-oh.
Scott Hall has been arrested.
What?
Okay, how long has he been with TNA again?
He's been with TNA since January 4th.
Damn it, I have the under in the pool. Damn it. Oh, well.
You had the under of 4 months.
Shit.
But yeah, this is serious stuff. He got arrested for a bar incident. Oh, dear God, he started drinking again.
There's
Scott Hall for you. There you go, Scott Hall. I'm your host, Scott Hall. DNA impact got 0.9, so I'm going to get my blood alcohol level to 0.9. Hey, y'all.
Well, actually, Jim, the ratings for TNA was a 1.
Well, it was like a 0.96 rounded to a 1, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is bad for Scott. We thought he was getting
his... It's not surprising, but it's bad, yes.
Yeah, we thought this is bad for Scott because we thought he was getting his life cleaned up. And how many times did Kevin Nash went to bat for this guy?
Too many.
Got to bring this up on here. Oh, jeez.
And the Blackhawks win.
Mm-hmm.
Focus.
Yeah.
Now, what is this going to happen for Scott Hall? Is he done?
No, I don't think he is.
I don't think he is, but if TNA's smart, he should be.
I'm busy, Dad, doing the show.
My dad's an idiot. Don't mind me.
I'll
kill you! Okay, I'm all right now.
All right, that's good. But yeah, this is shocking to say the least. This just came in a couple minutes ago. I'd like to thank Jason Block.
Scott Oliver. Oh, you know his business when they use his middle name. Scott Oliver Hall.
Oliver?
Yes.
They should fire him for that. Fire him for that.
Oliver.
What?
Oliver Twist?
There's a twist there.
Well, maybe he was procreated around the time of the Brady Bunch's Oliver. I don't know. No, of course not, but you know.
Oh, boo!
No.
Oh.
Boo.
We'll have a commercial to explain my liners in a minute. Don't worry. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but, yeah.
He resisted arrest. Good grief.
Wait, he resisted arrest? What?
It says here, hold on, let me bring it back up here. I'll read it verbatim. First of all, I'm surprised Hall's 51. I didn't know that. Professional wrestler Scott Oliver Hall was arrested earlier this month on, they say earlier this month, okay, on charges of disorderly intoxication and resisting an officer following an incident at a Seminole County bar, according to sheriff's records. It occurred at the Hitching Post Bar in Chialola, back on May 14th.
Chialota.
Thank you. Thank you. I haven't been to Florida in a while.
Nick is a native of Florida, I think in the Tampa area.
No, Chialota is actually a northeast suburb of Orlando. I actually know somebody who lives in that area.
Well, yeah, Seminole County, yeah. The deputy found a bartender standing in the door telling Hall to leave, but Hall was yelling and cursing at the bartender and other patrons there, according to the account of the deputy. Also... It said Hall appeared intoxicated with slurred speech and bloodshot eyes. That's not intoxicated. That's normal for him. So we have vintage Scott Hall rearing its ugly head, and it's sad, though. It really is, like you're saying, Rob.
Yeah, this is, and can we agree that this will probably be the end of Scott Hall in TNA after a big incident like this, which made... is probably going to make headlines and probably make MSN tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's cool for Scott Hall.
I can only put it at a strong maybe. I don't know if he will. Not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I always have that nagging feeling in the back of my head saying Hogan's going to keep him on until TNA's dead.
Which will be in another 3 months of the rate they're going, seemingly, but we won't go there.
Buzzing!
Thank you.
Well, ratings are going up, and they're probably going to go back again. Let's go around the table. So, Josh, you said maybe?
A strong maybe. About 70 to 80% chance that he will be axed come Slammiversary. As people already may or may not know,
DRM?
My brain tapings have already done aired.
Yeah. I'm going about 90% gone.
You have 90% odds. Nikki?
I'm going with 80 to 90%. If I were Dixie, he would be gone immediately. They don't need any more negative press, despite the fact that Jeff Hardy's press just keeps getting pushed back every couple of months. This one, it's pretty close to home. The only reason I can see them keeping him on payroll is just so Kevin Nash can keep an eye on him. But you see how well that's working.
Yeah, and Jim?
I'm going to be a little bit, I'm going to go up the middle. I'm going to say 50-50, quite frankly. I think there's a 50% chance he may leave right around Slammiversary and be shown the door. But I have a crazy feeling this company is, it's like the Titanic. They're going to bring everybody down and not let everybody get off while the getting's good. And maybe this is him, you know, his venting, his stress relief, shall we say, for what's going on in his role in the company. I don't know. So I'm going to say 50-50.
And Carl just joined us. Carl, what are your odds on that Scott Hall's going to be doing with TNA?
Oh, gee, thanks. After 7 fucking minutes, oh, hi.
Hey!
Not the kind of show we do here. Yeah, it is, but actually.
Bite me, Williams. Good evening, everybody. I'm just getting home, so I don't know what the hell is going on today. Someone refreshed my memory.
Scott Hall got arrested, dude.
Yes.
Okay, did you bring this up?
About
one
5 minutes
Cole...
ago.
No, not that. Did you bring
Carlito?
Up one of the cool
Carlito?
Yeah.
That was yours.
Okay. All I gotta say is fail, 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 and double fail.
And what are the odds that Scott Hall gets fired?
He gone.
100%?
I'd say about 90, at least.
I'm gonna bite the bullet and say 100% he is gone. Because we knew Scott Hall was working on a tight leash already.
On a choker, even.
Yeah.
A choker? What kind of style do you need?
It's a very tight necklace, Carl. Normally worn by Native Americans.
Oh, so what you say, you're Native American now, Simon?
Not going to say it.
We will roll. I'm going to take my head and we'll have a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Uh-oh.
Or will we?
If it loads.
Where you see three clips of three different commercials before you get to the real one?
bitching technology.
Stupid BTR, what you can say, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll digress.
He finds Michael Cole to be the longest-running weekly episodic joke in wrestling history. He finds Vicky Guerrero to be both annoying and sexually enticing. He knows for a fact that Lacey Von Erich would do anything that has legs, especially end tables and grandfather clocks. He is the most cynical man in the world. I don't always crack jokes, but when I do, they're on the North American Wrestling Connection. Go f*** yourself, my friends.
What?
What in the hell was that?
30 seconds
of
off.
Vincito beat me!
Win! What's that button? Yeah.
Proof positive that our sound bites are the best part of the show.
That's about it.
Hey, let's talk, God, what are we going to talk about? Oh, yeah. Hey, Michael Cole. You got your fucking head kicked in.
Hooray. And the IWC
NXT. But first, we got to pick 'em scores.
For this nonsense, yes.
Swerve. Does anybody care what happened on Sacrifice? No? Good.
No.
I don't care.
I don't care.
Really.
I wasn't even part of it. Who cares?
Nobody cares. Okay.
You got the belt and call us.
No, I don't have the belt, and nobody here has the belt. In last place is BRM with 2.
In my defense, I've been super cramming, so.
Next up is Josh with double BRM with 4.
I hate TNA.
And next up is a person who actually truly hates TNA, Trista, with 4.5.
Somewhere she's laughing.
Oh, by the way, everybody, 3, 2, 1. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Trista.
In about half an hour, Super Oprah.
Happy
birthday to you.
Boy, oh boy, I tell you, the four lads are turning over in their graves.
The four lads.
Are you sure they're turning over in their graves?
They're dead. Continue.
I think they're still alive.
They're dead to me. They're dead to me. Continue.
Dear God. Okay, so now let's talk NXT.
Yay.
Why not?
It's time for the belt first. Or is it Jason that got the belt? I forget.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see what we got here. Main thing is, shall I talk about who got eliminated first? Or Michael Cole get his fucking head kicked in.
Ooh, Michael Cole get his fucking head kicked in.
Through the ladder.
Oh, okay. Okay,
please.
So Michael Tarver and Daniel Bryan, a.k.a. Bryan Danielson, were coming out and were allowed to talk. Tarver actually cuts an interesting promo. Not a good promo, but an interesting promo.
Well, good by his standards.
Yeah.
Even
though
what a sec.
Mm-hmm. And then we get to Bryan Danielson. He starts running down everything.
Mm-hmm.
Telling everybody how good I am. Jericho, you know how good I am. Regal, you know how good I am. And Regal nods and says, yep. Then he tells Miz, even though you won't admit it, you know I am better than you. And you can see Regal and the Miz going, yeah!
Not Regal and the Miz.
Regal and Jericho.
Regal and Punk.
Yeah, Regal and Punk.
By that much.
Yes. And Regal got a one-liner in that most people didn't catch after the Miz challenged him and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Or after he was challenged by the Miz,
Miz. He is better than you.
He is better than you.
Regal for the win again, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
It's because it's Regal.
It's another story.
And all the while, you hear Cole on commentary, again continuing to bust Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson's chops. Mm-hmm. But wait!
There's more.
Yes, there is.
Oh, wait, hold on.
No, you don't have to hit that, but all right.
Take 2.
But
wait!
There's more.
Yes.
He turns around. Michael Cole! He goes down to him, runs him down. Cole actually backpedals a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I am here. You're a poor man's JR. You're a poor man's
replacement.
Yeah.
Poor man's replacement.
And then you hear in the heads of many ROH fans, It's the final countdown.
No, there's a hell of a lot of that out there.
If you go back to the music showcase, I'm going to kill you.
But it would be
I don't have that sound effect.
Thank God for that.
Yes,
so Daniel Bryan exact some revenge on Cole and like slaps him around and gets a last second kick in. All the while Josh Matthews is like, what am I doing here? this isn't tough enough, is it? Oh, I'm sorry. Kidding.
I bet Josh wishes this was tough enough. He could actually
He would actually win the damn thing, probably.
No, Matthews had a big old smirk on his face the whole time.
Well, yeah, of course he did.
About freaking time for me.
Thought someone said this shit to him.
And Cole sells it for what it's worth, saying he's going to press charges, and he actually leaves the table and comes back to the table later in the night and what have you. It makes you wonder, where are we going with this? There's got to be more to this than meets the eye, of course. So, you know, what is planned? What is the future plans for Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, Bryan Daniels, Daniels Bryan, whatever he calls himself these days?
Daniel Bryan.
Thank you. Right.
I think what's going to happen is there will be blood.
Shed?
There will be blood in the water.
But that's not very PG. Sorry.
Don't get me started on that.
No.
I had to.
Didn't we have an incident like that happen on Superstars? The people who watched Superstars? Anybody here watch Superstars?
No.
I don't get it at school.
No.
I just don't bother with it.
No.
Yes, WWE Superstars is not part of the core curriculum there, yes.
We'll get into core curriculums in just a minute.
Oh, of course we will.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I still remember for this show.
BUSA, BLST 346.
I didn't know spelling was part of it.
Oh, NAWC 469.
I was going to say, BSLT bullshit light? Okay.
I thought it was 420, but that's just me. I don't know.
And for the BS, it would be the BS 690.
Yeah. That sounds like an AM radio station right there.
BS 690 on the airwaves. Hey, how you doing, everybody?
Jim would feel right at home again.
Yes, I would. I'd actually have a job in the business if fucking that happens. Anyway.
Yes.
Now, back to the other thing that happened on NXT, besides Cole getting his fucking stomach kicked in.
Yeah.
We had an elimination.
Yes, we did.
And sadly, it wasn't David Otunga.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be exactly.
And you know what kind of got to me a little bit? The guy seemed sincere, but of course the audience, hey, goodbye, still on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a telling moment, too, yeah.
You could tell he got upset, too.
I thought he was trying not to laugh, to be honest. He's like, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you also get the point, you also get the feeling that most of the people who were in the arena at the time NXT taped don't really give two craps about the show in and of itself to some degree.
Yeah.
That's true, but still, the guy was being sincere, at least, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This was Philadelphia, he'd actually get some credit.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Where were they?
Unless you're Vicky Guerrero.
Oh,
they were in Ottawa.
Bizarro Land, yes.
Ottawa?
That explains a lot.
It does.
Do they even, fair question, do they even get NXT in Canada?
We'll have to ask Trisha, but I think they do.
I don't
know if Sci-Fi is in Canada or not.
I'll check on that for just a second here.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
I figure the score would be playing it.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Score or TSN.
So, Mm-hmm.
No, not TSN. They don't do WWE.
They don't do wrestling anymore. Yeah.
It's a score.
They're too busy with hockey. A.
Don't get me started on that either.
Okay, moving on.
Yes, we will move on.
Blackhawks.
No, out of the four left, Barrett, Otunga, Gabriel, and Slater, who do you see getting eliminated next week? Josh.
I hope to dear God a teeth Slater. Ah, tool bag. Fucking tool bag.
VRM?
I haven't watched NXT in over a month.
And probably with good reason.
Smart person.
School. No, it's because I've had school.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Again, smart person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I should be back in, but anyway.
Let's see. I would love it to be Otunga. It's not going to be Otunga, unfortunately. It's probably going to be Slater. I know Josh doesn't like him. I like Slater, but something's missing. Or is it just Rock Band and West Virginia don't go together?
Oh, wait. I have another reason as why I don't watch NXT. Because it's in the same time slot as Deadliest Warrior.
Oh, boy.
DVR, man.
When I'm at school, I don't have DVR.
What do you have at school, my friend? No.
Look, nothing.
I figured. That's okay.
You probably got one of those cheapo cable systems customized for college.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With five
as is there is down
channels.
Here for hours.
Mm-hmm. With five college channels?
Kind of like hotels that have, you know, five channels just dedicated to the hotel proper.
Mm.
Yeah.
And 10 more dedicated to porn.
Yeah.
Like maybe 40 channels total. Something like that.
Yeah. I learned that by saying
some do that. Some others don't, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
For example,
at Bally's last year. Sorry, go ahead, Carl.
For example, the LSU campus uses the same system, just adds on custom channels for LSU residents.
This has been another useless fact.
Remind me to smack you next week. Anyway.
Yeah, no problem. I'm kidding, Carl. God.
Long day.
You missed the promo. Yes.
Yes, I did. I've been going all day.
Anyway.
Back on topic.
Getting back on topic, apparently, there is no NXT in Canada, but, of course, SCORE does have the experience, WWE experience program.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Mm.
So they don't have NXT.
That may explain a lot of it.
Yeah. So there you go, Nikki. There's your explanation.
Okay.
Canadians don't watch NXT.
Now they got to deal with Jack Carpella instead.
Mm-hmm.
Or Steve Morrell. Romo, whatever the frick his name is. I don't know.
Steve Romero. Right.
Yeah.
Steve Romero doesn't belong there.
Oh,
Steve Romero
God.
Doesn't belong anywhere, Nikki.
Brett Favre under those ankle surgery. Good Lord.
All right, Jim?
Well, I think Otunga should be eliminated, but I'm going to make a bold prediction. Justin Gabriel's going to get the axe. I just have a funny feeling.
No.
I hope I'm wrong, but I just, you know, it's that same thing that told me Jack Swagger was going to win Money in the Bank. Whoops. Just drop that pick, you know. Thank you.
You know, Jason still wants to kick your ass over that, dude.
Dude, all of us want to kick his ass. And I want
to kick his ass because he beat my mom on GSN radio in a game of Catch 21, but that's not going to happen. So.
That just sounds like you guys are even, so.
Yeah, pretty much. Only he made $100, I didn't. I just want a belt.
Yes.
That's a fourth to win anyway.
Well, if I'm going to go out next week, I'm going out in a blaze of glory. Carl?
I'm going with Otunga there, fella.
Oh, you're stepping up and picking Otunga.
He's boring. The end.
I hate to counteract your argument, but
Justin... so far.
Yeah. hate to counteract your argument, dude, here. But Drew McIntyre's boring as hell, and yet he's still on television every week stinking up the airwaves.
That's
another story for another day.
Right. Although Matthew
there's some
does
news
say,
on that, too, by the way.
Yeah. Although Matthew does say he has sexy legs, and I think Nikki will agree.
Yes, he does.
Oh, good
nice Lord. Hair and nice abs. And
I just lost respect for Matthew. I really just did. Anyway.
And you can hear more interesting facts about Matthew on the North American Wrestling Connection Matthew Special, which has already been sent, but you can hear it right here at blogtalkradio.com/SigmaFan. Smirk.
Smirk.
Smirk. Smirk.
Yeah. In fact, I'll say this right here. He thinks that Zangief is the best Street Fighter character of all time. He will always
and
play as Zangief.
True.
He will always play as Zangief instead of Ryu and Ken.
Learn that and many other interesting facts by listening to the Matthew Special. Yes.
Welcome. Yes.
Yoink.
When is that, Mr. Seidelman?
It's happened.
It already. It was pre-recorded. Or
it happened.
Recorded
it happened. Oh God.
Yes, it did, Lampley.
Yes, pre-recorded for your pleasure.
I'll have to kiss
and
you.
And Rob's, if you know what I mean, folks.
Oh, God, the party's over. Drew McIntyre's on my TV, so if I fall asleep, you know why.
Whee.
So let's continue going in reverse order. Let's talk about Raw.
No, let's talk about TNA.
That works for me.
All right.
All right.
All right, TNA, we're done.
Because...
I wish.
Thank you, Durham.
No, Josh. Things actually happened on TNA this week.
Such as?
The top 10 contenders have been announced.
In the wrong order.
More importantly, where the hell has Samoa Joe been?
In that financial.
You probably have to get some weight put off of him again.
The ninjas found him.
Fight.
No, the ninjas died.
All three of them over what's Cheeky Mountain? Oh, well.
But anyways, number two contender was supposed to be Kurt Angle. He pulled himself out of the top ten, says he wants to work his way up. Nikki, we talked about this earlier. You threw a fit.
I just find it exceptionally out of character for Kurt. Kurt prides himself as being one of the most driven and one of the most dedicated and one of the most hardworking wrestlers in the business. He shouldn't have to kowtow to anybody. He shouldn't have to start anywhere but right outside the main event. And that's the way he's been since he came to TNA in 2006. Now, he qualifies that by saying that bigger names have come, such as Jeff Hardy and Rob Van Dam, people he's faced before, people he's beaten. I just don't understand the rhetoric of it. Only part of his promo that made any sense to me is that he wants to work for free, since the axe is going to be swinging at TNA very, very soon.
Yes, it's not a matter of if now, it's a matter of when, and we'll get to that in a couple minutes after we talk about Sting.
At Slammiversary,
it will be Sting versus Rob Van Dam, so we can cap off that feud, which started on January the 4th.
Whatever happened to that thing that they do every June at Slammiversary, I forget. It was a big match. It was kind of a big deal. Yeah, it's called King of the Mountain. Where the hell is that?
They finally realized it was too stupid, so they got rid of it.
It's a 101.
Okay. About freaking time.
So See, yeah, I don't
one
mind
day
if
Rob
they do
happened
that
to open the handle and dropped it down.
Yeah.
Well, okay, next question. Is Slammiversary going to be helping Impact Zone?
Yeah, it is going to be helping Impact Zone.
They're done. They're done.
Then there's going to be a whole bunch of snarky TNA fans complaining that King of the Mountain's not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And Hogan's going to have to go out and try to shut them up, and then Dixie's going to have to come out and remind them that they're cast members and not fans.
Yes.
Here's something interesting, though.
Because that's
to make me a guardrail.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting,
though.
Then
I get freaking paid.
Something interesting I just found.
Can I use being a cast, an audience member for an Impact show on my resume?
No.
I wouldn't recommend
it. Yeah.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
I did find something interesting, though.
What's that?
They're using an 8 for the title of Slammiversary this year.
That is quite interesting. So a couple points get swung your way.
Slammiversary 8 in Roman numerals there.
Where have I seen that before? Super
I'm not going to go there.
Nor I.
It's too easy for Jim. Anyway.
The granddaddy of them all that is about to go under. Anyway.
Yeah. No, the granddaddy of them all that's about to go under is Bound for Glory. Did you forget that?
Oh, yes. Botch for Glory, as I call it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
But yeah, it's going to be in Orlando.
Okay.
So now we talk about Raw.
All right, let's get to
it. No. I take that back. The axe is coming down. 15 to 20 people will be cut.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already had one so far.
David Bender is
gone.
Although that was not rumored to be an actual cut, but rather David Penzer having heat with the company, and therefore he was let go. They're looking into hiring Gary Michael Capetta, former
WCW
announcer.
You know what?
Yeah.
I seriously brought that up last week. I didn't think that was really going to happen. Oh, God.
Wow. Good call, Jim. And you know what? Even though I like Borash,
he's not good as
perfect, and here's why.
He sucks as ring announcer. I'm sorry.
God damn, that hurts.
No, Borash is okay, but he's miles better than David Penzer when it comes to TNA.
When was the last time Capetta even did announcing?
Late 2009 for Ring of Honor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he was long retired. I didn't know. Okay.
Nope. Capetta still does ring announcing every now and again.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And where does he do it? Anybody? Anywhere he damn well pleases.
Pleases.
Oh, God.
Yay.
Yes, even Jim made a soundbite of that.
No, I'm
last week's
tonight.
Intro.
Yes.
I'm tired. I'm out. Good night.
All right, VR, I'm going to get your fix tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, man.
Night, sir.
Night. But hey, that's cool that Gary Michael Capetta might be getting work again. Plus, he's a damn good ring announcer.
He is.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Now, the pertinent question. Anybody have any ideas of, you know, let's throw two names out of a hat. Two people.
Oh,
you think
for
are
sure.
Get...
He's gone, and that's going to save the company about $80,000.
Oh, boy. Give me one second to look at the roster list.
Oh, boy.
I've got one off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, please share.
Jay Lethal.
I was thinking that, actually, because of where they stripped the gimmick, so what is he now?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, all I think of is Charlie Haas.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one.
Okay. Who's that?
I'm going to look at people who ain't showed up in a while.
Okay.
Go for it.
Number one, Magnus.
Yeah, I think he's done.
Kiyoshi is another.
I'll give you Magnus. He is contracted. Kiyoshi, I think he's also contracted.
Kiyoshi's done with the company, though. They just haven't ever taken his page off.
Okay.
Here's some more. Dr. Stevie and Raven both haven't been used for either.
What about Amazing Red and Dawn West?
No, Red just wrestled last week.
Oh, yeah. Here's one. Rhino, that's another one that hasn't been active.
Yeah. Ooh.
Not often.
His contract should be up soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, you can go to a bar. Join Scott Hall.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Let's go, Scott Hall. I'm your host. Let's go.
Let's go to the females here. There's one that's just sticking out.
Much because none of them are contracted.
They're all paid for appearance.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
Let's look at them. Even if it's, like $200 an appearance for some of the women?
If that.
That's slave wages.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's middle road independent wages.
Seriously.
I make more than that, for Christ's sake.
I make more than that. Oh, wait.
I'm unemployed, and I know I make more. Well, let's go on.
Aye.
Oh, it's true.
You know,
hold on.
That's the sad thing. If you're in the number two company and two unemployed people make triple what you do.
That's when you need to start filing paperwork. Smirk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe cut a referee, too.
Earl Hebner's near retirement.
Yeah.
What about the beatbox man?
No, he just got there.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, there's only two road agents.
Who are the two road agents?
That would be, of course, Pat Kenny and D'Lo.
I can see D'Lo going.
Yeah, even though he's only just gotten back from like a month ago or something.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And by the way, I don't know if we have much time left, but are we still going to do pick'ems?
Okay, I think...
About 10 minutes.
Yeah, so let's do pick'ems.
Oh boy, here we go.
Mm-hmm. We have
eight matches.
Okay.
For 9 points.
All right, bring it.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's start off with Eve versus Maryse for the,
the butterfly belt?
Yeah. The butterfly belt. Baseball prevails, we'll go with Josh.
Immediately pulling the flusher.
Nikki.
Eve just got it. She retains.
Jim.
I want to send this to the TL Hopper, please. That works.
Carl?
I'm going to save my flusher for something else. I'm going to go with Eve.
I'm going to go with Maryse. Because Maryse has been on a roll, and she will get her belt back.
Hey, Frenchie! Yeah.
Don't get me started on the Canadians, please!
Ted DiBiase with Virgil! We forgot Virgil came back!
The Mad Boobs are back in WWE!
How could you forget that, Sidelman?
Because we spent so much time talking about Scott Hall getting arrested and Carlito getting released. And because it's current! Like, 2 hours ago, current!
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're listening to us 2 years from now when it's not.
If you listen to us
listen
in 2 years, then you have no life.
Consider the sources. Continue!
Oh, wait a minute.
Ted DiBiase versus R-Truth in a singles match, Carl.
I'm going to go with DiBiase.
Jim.
I'm going to pull the upset here. R-Truth, and I feel a swerve coming. That's all I'm saying.
Nikki.
R-Truth because he's outnumbered.
And Josh.
DiBiase.
It's actually going to be R-Truth because Virgil is going to turn on Ted.
Thank you!
Anything to hear that classic Virgil theme song. Den 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 den
den den den den den. Oh God!
You're a sick man, Sidelin.
Son of a bitch! Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Son of a bitch.
Next.
Drew McIntyre versus Kofi Kingston for the Intercontinental title.
If you're not Kofi Kingston anyway, but anyway.
Yeah.
I am going with Captain Snoozefest. No, I mean McIntyre.
Oh, okay. Nikki.
Drew's got momentum.
Oh God, it's the Beltway series.
No. Actually, no. This is only the beginning of the feud. Drew retains.
Damn, the actual pool can't beat the Orioles. Good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Drew wins. Let me take a nap. Sorry,
Carl.
Snorefest will win. Thank you, Sparky.
Yes.
You reckon Carl wins?
Now, Sparky.
Apparently, Sparky is a thing for Drew and his legs.
No, I'm feeding him Drew McIntyre right now.
Hey!
You can have his legs after they're eaten off. There you go.
Ew.
Half point. I don't care.
Okay. Next.
Oh, I got a half point coming. It ain't for this one. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Here we go.
The Hard Dynasty versus Chris Jericho and The Miz. 2 points for this one. Who gets pinned and who wins? We start with Carl.
Here comes my bold prediction here. Jeremiz wins the belt, and it's going to be DHS who gets pinned.
Okay, Jim.
You know what? I'm going to flush. I'm going to take a point out of this.
Let's flush her. Oh, hi.
Oh, I'll flush her later.
Oink, oink, indeed.
Try to get that vision out of your head.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Nikki.
Nikki's next.
Sorry, I did not hear my name being called. Hart Dynasty retains with Miz tapping out to a sharpshooter applied to him by Tyson Kidd.
Okay. Josh.
Hart Dynasty wins. Miz stares at the lights after a heart attack.
Hart Dynasty wins while Miz taps out to a Tyson Kidd sharpshooter.
That's what I said.
No, you said a D.H. Smith sharpshooter.
I said Tyson Kidd.
Whatever.
Same thing.
We'll check the audio later.
Yes.
Which means we won't.
Yes. Who cares?
Who cares?
Jack Swagger versus The Big Show for the World Heavyweight title. Who you got, Josh?
Suffering succotash.
No.
By, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Swagger?
Yeah. Nikki,
stop drilling over Drew McIntyre.
I can't hear you. If you said my name, I did not hear you. Swagger retains because Show's got way too much momentum.
Jim.
Oklahoma's bastard son wins.
Carl.
The All-American Canadian? What? Oh, Swagger.
Yeah, Swagger's got this one in the bag. Let's see, who do we got next? Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk. If Rey loses, he pledges to the Straight Edge Society. If Punk loses, he loses his hair. Who you got, Carl?
I mentioned the half a point, didn't I?
Yep.
No, not yet. Mysterio.
Who did you say again?
Mysterio.
Okay, Jim.
I'm going to use the Nikki Heyman logic. Punk can't lose the hair. Punk wins.
And Miss Heyman.
Double DQ.
Ooh!
Wow. Savvy.
Okay.
Talk about a bold prediction. All right,
the double DQ rule means 2 points.
Okay.
Because it's that risky.
I realize that. And if I'm wrong, I get nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Proudy, go for it, yeah.
Okay, that's the rule on the show. If you call a double DQ or double count out, it's 2 points.
Okay.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are pulling rules out of our ass here.
Carl. All right, it's to me, then.
Yep.
Ah, man, this is pretty much a match of conflicted interests. On the one hand, I want Punk to win so bad. Yeah, on the other hand, it's almost as if Mysterio was going to win, but I'm going with my gut. CM Punk.
I'm going to go with the guy who sells merch, and sadly that is Ray.
Booyaka.
Booyaka.
Who wants more money? But anyway.
Randy Orton versus Edge and Josh.
Orton.
Nikki.
I really... damn it. Edge. He needs to win.
Him.
Spear.
RKO.
Carl.